Absolutely.
Yeah. We're
Well, at least
actually.
it's saying something. At least it's saying it's being recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess like everyone always uses like granola and stuff now, right? And yeah, we're gonna use that too, but yeah.
Well, that's, I suppose, actually, granola was where the kind of the frustration also came from, because there's all these really great tools, but it's just after the fact, isn't it? You've already asked the questions and all of that. But yeah, sorry, anyway.
No. So Reese, my first question is, when you've been building with voice AI, if there was one thing that you could wave a magic wand at, what would it be?
What, in general, or specifically around, trying to use your product, or just in general?
Just in general, like don't worry about layer code. Like just yeah, we're just trying to understand where your real what anything that you would wave a magic wand at, basically.
Well, I've had a saying for a very long time in different contexts, which is context is king. And I think that really applies when you are building with AI, more so than anything else I've ever known. It's taken me quite a while with all the tools that I have to start to build to a place where there is enough structure, enough context, enough background, that proper documentation, and then keeping all that documentation up to date. And making sure that the AI's got all of that context, you've got the agents.md set up correctly
Yeah.
and whatnot. All of those things, I think, has been really key. Beforehand, it was cool, to be able to start from the point of view of vibe coding, and then get to that point where you're able to build something and show that it's great, and then you prompt something and it breaks, a bunch of features and all of that. It's just like that typical thing. I think if I had a magic wand, I would just love for the tools that we're using to be a little bit smarter at being able to capture and document all of that, so that it's less reliant on us. I'm pretty sure it's gonna, it'll get there. I'd be amazed if that wasn't already happening. I know it kind of already is happening to some degree, but I find, like, when I use Replit, which I'm moving away from at the moment, but it has the replit.md file, but it doesn't really capture the things that you really need. It doesn't really remember the architecture and the decisions that have been made and the direction that you're going in, and all of those other things that you really do need when you want to just make a change somewhere, but it doesn't end up breaking something, or taking too much agency itself.
So it's kind of around like the con it's like making sure that the tools you're building with have the context for like what you've built so far and how the tools work and stuff.
Yeah, and how you want to work as well. I don't want the agents to go and have complete autonomy, over creating lots of tasks and making decisions in the background. I want it to have some autonomy and some agency to go and do things, but I really do want that cycle at the start of just making sure we've got the plan correct and making sure that the right decisions have been made. I do find now I'm just moving across to using Cursor more. And I'm getting it set up, and I feel like that's really helping. It certainly is referencing the agents file a lot more than Replit used to as well. But yeah, I feel like that would really help to not necessarily speed things up, because speed really isn't the problem anymore, but actually just reduce the amount of issues that might come out at the end of something. Because sometimes it introduces something and you don't even know that actually that's an issue until you're much further in development somewhere else. I find that's the problem, is that I'm picking up, when did that happen? Why did that decision get made? And it can be infuriating to have to go through that.
Yeah, sometimes it just like deletes things that it really shouldn't have. Like it just removes logic that you had in there or something.
Exactly, yeah. Because it's just focused on that one task rather than, always having the sort of the overarching context of, this is always what we're trying to build, and here are the different decisions that get made and why we've architected it in all this way. So no, you can't go, it just did it recently with I was building a real-time gateway for streaming, because what Anik is also doing is that it's building UI where it's able to, to prompt you with like questions in real time for how to move the conversation on, get the right insight, or get more evidence and more detail about something in particular. And and I so built this real-time gateway, that, and all, the SSE stuff in the background, and it was great. And then it just completely broke it because it changed, one of the key components within it, and completely changed the logic because I wanted to change something in the UI. So it was only when I actually dig down the detail, asked the questions, I was like, well, I don't understand why you've made that. And then it does the usual, AI thing of, that's right. Yes, I know it's right. It's wrong.
You're absolutely right. I admitted this. It's like, yes, you did. Yeah, that's I relate a lot. This is yeah, so true. Is there anything else that you would wave a magic wand at?
Asking the question again.
Is there anything else that you would wave a magic wand at in build while building with voice AI? Or just creating voice AI powered products.
One thing that I think you guys have done really well is I noticed that you've got the little button on there in the documentation to be able just to download everything in Markdown, which made it remarkably easier for me to just be able to take that and give it to Cursor, so that we could build the plan to integrate all of it, rather than pointing it at different websites and hoping that it's able to scrape all the right information and again make sure that it understands the context of everything. So, I think more people doing things like that is really good. But more sort of common integrations and patterns. I see people moving towards that again now. It's funny, I'm leaving Replit, and one of the reasons why I was leaving originally because it didn't have any real integrations other than forcing you into using Neon and these other things that it's got. But now it's got all the integrations. Actually, I would have taken advantage of if I was still there, but I'm not sure otherwise, other than that. I feel like there was a lot of issues that I've gone through it, and I found workarounds that have probably now just become sort of so standardized to me that I don't even see them as problems anymore, maybe.
So yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, don't even notice the duct taped stuff anymore.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that, if we continue the conversation, things will start to pop into my head.
Well, if it also if it's not like a burning problem, it's not a problem, right? Like if it's like a if it's a workaround but it works and it's not causing you issues, it's like, well, that's fine. That's how they
Yeah.
feel, right? Yeah, that's super interesting. So it sounds like the stuff that you're getting that's most challenging is actually kind of like the AI powered development, like working with the agents while you're building voice AI products primarily.
Yeah. Well, just trying to maintain speed, but also accuracy, quality, out of the back of that. I think those are the real key things.
If you had better, if that kind of worked better, how would it change your life?
Well, I mean, I have a huge amount of ideas and things that I'd love to be able to implement, and the ability to. I have one day a week off work where, I dedicate to working on Anika, so I can do whatever I can in that one day, and normally it's a lot, certainly compared to the other job. The amount that we could move internally versus how I move on a Friday is absolute night and day. It's quite, actually, I find it really infuriating a lot of the time now when I see how slow everything is, and how difficult it is to try and make everything move. And I'm like, well, I literally built that in like 2 hours. Same infrastructure, same issues, But yeah, I have this by one day. I think if AI had more of that context and that ability to be able to move faster with me, naturally, I think we'd be able to move the product on a lot faster and develop more at speed.
Super cool. Super cool. And is there anything that's changed over the last year, 6 months that's made it more valuable to be able to move faster and ship faster now?
I think it's probably just the speed at which the market is moving. So you have to be able to react. You know, I certainly feel like I'm on a timeline, with a big wall fast approaching, where you kind of have to get not just a demo, but something that is an MVP, to either to market, or to a place where actually you can really start to show it to lots of people to, secure some funding to be able to, make it more of a reality and whatnot. So I do think that being able to really get all of these tools working in a way where I can significantly build to move the product forward and, and react to the feedback that I'm hearing and collating and whatnot, is vital. And I don't think I'd be able to do it at the same, oh, I wouldn't be able to do it at the same speed. Let's call it a year ago. I think 6 months ago I'd probably still be in quite a good place for it, but like a year ago, yeah, I don't think I probably could have built the product a year or 18 months ago in the way that I have now, certainly to the complexity that it has, considering that although I had some qualifications way like 20 years ago, but it's got to be now, I haven't spent my whole life in tech. I was a learning professional by heart for many, many years, and then kind of got back into tech because it was always my passion, really. So yeah, it's like I know enough to be dangerous, I would say. And I think that makes me a good chief product officer, certainly one that looks after engineering, but not enough to go and code from scratch my own products, and do DevOps and other bits and pieces as well. Now that's an area, actually. Now that I've just said that, I think that's an area of that I'd need to explore a little bit more. Again, something like Replit makes it really easy. I just deploy, But I'm like, well, now I'm moving to Cursor. What am I going to do? How are we going to do this in the future? I think that's probably another area that's really ripe, or maybe there's already quite a few products that I just don't know it yet. That could really help people like me to make sure we've got the right setup for DevOps and deployments and whatnot.
That's it's big space.
Yeah, future problem for me rather than an existing one. I think that is one of the advantages of using something like Replit. I don't like using LeftPool anymore. I think it's too simple. It's too focused on people that just want to create, demos and prototypes and all of that. But Replit does have the enough to be able to really get going.
That's really cool. Yeah, I need to play around with it more, wrap that.
What's your setup? Are you already in Cursor? Are you already using?
I was using Cursor, but weirdly, I can't remember why, but I think I went back to VS Code recently, and I'm just using Codex, the OpenAI kind of version of like Claude Code, basically. And we really like it. And also the other thing that is quite good is we've got like an integration in Slack. So we could say like ask Cursor. So even like people that don't want to go, like people that in our team that wouldn't want to like go mess around with Claude Code because it feels like very like CLI, they can just say like, oh, can you just add this to the docs? Can you mention this? This link is broken in the docs or stuff like that. Or like our website's in Framer, but they could do it on the website if like that was a thing. And so, yeah, like I really like Codex, and you can use it on your phone as well, which is really cool. ChatGPT.
I use Codex for code reviews. I do really like it for that. I still Cursor got like what they call Bugbot now that they've started to roll out, but I really do like it using Codex in that way.
Yeah, maybe I should go back and check out Cursor again. It's just like I think the subscriptions were set up at my Layer Code for Codex. And I was paying for Cursor personally, but then I was like, okay, I might as well just use Codex. I don't know. But yeah, I should go back and check it out.
Yeah.
Reese, sorry, one last question. I'd love to see a demo. How do you discover new tools? Like, how did you discover Replit, for instance?
Well, I've been setting up my LinkedIn for a long time to subscribe to like a huge number of people that are, posting about their very latest things in the field, what they're doing with it, a lot of people that now kind of share, anytime templates and videos and demos of what they're doing, that's really interesting. And I think with my role, especially in at Fuse, I'm also trying to make sure I collate all of this stuff so I can share it with all the different people internally. Hey, content team, this is what's happening with Deo 3. 3.1 just came out the other day. They've already got videos and the information about it so that they can start to go and explore all of that. And so I really use LinkedIn as that kind of key place, obviously, Product Hunt and quite a few newsletters. I think that's where I. That's where I see all of these new tools come out, and that's a lot of the time where I'm actually then going and subscribing and or going onto a wait list and all of that, because I'm like, yeah, this is cool. This could be really interesting for me or for Fuse or whatever. And I will just dive in and give it a go. I've done it for loads of stuff.
Any particular newsletters that you like?
Well, I mean, it got all the usual sort of product ones like Lenny's newsletter and whatnot. I'd have to like. Into my
Oh
email
yeah,
now. I mean, they've been
no
set up for
worries.
so
I
long.
just wondered if there's any
Yeah,
that you really check. I guess Lenny's is a good one, yeah.
it is a good one. I wouldn't say it's one that normally kind of services the more interesting stuff for me. But yeah, I mean, if you are interested, I'd be happy just to like get some things, and I can share those with you.
Oh yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, but Reese, I'd love to, if you want to, I'd love to see a demo if you're if you're up for it.
Yeah. Well, sure. Like I say, I mean, hope to see whether it works or not. I think I'm still in that really sort of nervous new stage
Oh yeah.
and
Well,
yeah.
hopefully, even if
You
it's
you've been
like,
through this though,
even if it
right?
doesn't work, hopefully doing it to me will make you less nervous next time when
Absolutely. Yeah.
get the habits in.
That's fine. Well, I will share the tab here. So yeah, I mean, so like I was saying, I mean, with Annika, we started off with, being all about how do we help humans be the best they can be in meetings. That was the sort of the seed of the idea. And then where we've gone from there then is, well, actually, it's a much bigger problem than that. That is part of it, but actually, as a human, you can only attend so many meetings anyway, right? I mean, how many meetings can you do every single week with prospective customers and whatnot? So what we're building is that, a tool that can help you within meetings, but at the same time, it can also then actually go and do autonomous meetings. So it's not just about doing meetings per se, it's actually about, discovery projects. And where I'm starting to aim this at now is solo, entrepreneurs. Kind of like myself. Well, I got a co-founder, so maybe I'm not that. That's not the right title for me. But people like me that are able to that want to get a real product, test it, get it out there, be able to react to feedback. But also, people that want to potentially be able to go and get investment, and so being able to create a project where you can have a series of meetings. Some I do, like the more in-depth conversations, and then you've got the conversations where you just need more information. Maybe it's like shorter 5, 10 minute conversations, and Annika can actually go and do that and have that meeting. That's, I should say, roadmap, not really going to see today, but that's the autonomous bit is where we want to go, and then add different tools into it, surveys and whatnot, so that if you are looking for validation for your idea to take it further. Or, for your company that's got seed funding and you're going for Series A, or you want to get new, you're trying out new revenue streams, but you don't know which one to go for to be able to go for Series B, Series C. It's also a tool for that. And so, when you get into it, and this is the bit that I haven't got installed at the moment, is the it should be Copilot, right? Which is the browser extension. So rather than you seeing this screen here. Well, I should be having a conversation with you on in the browser, And then on the right-hand side, I would then just see Anika, and it's able to tell me what are the questions that that I should be asking. You know, you go through a process at the start, and this is where layer code is going to come in now, where you prep for the project and then for the individual meetings. And we want to use layer code so that Anika has a 5-minute conversation with you to build, you know, what are the, well, first of all, what are the goals that you actually want to get out of this particular meeting or this project? And then within those goals, then kind of, you know, what are the objectives of those? So when we tick these things off, we know we've actually then completed that. And then what Annika is doing as it's having the conversation is it's you know, there's like a 4 or 5 different agents in the background, it's triaging the transcript as it comes through. It's then passing it to the analyst. The analyst is then, you know, looking at evidence and updating. It's passing it then to the, you know, the interviewer agent that's then generating and reviewing all the questions and whatnot. And so in like near real time, then it's just continuously updating and helping you to be able to make sure that you get the very best and you see how you're doing in the meeting. And it's got all of the reasoning and the logic in the background then to say, you know, hey, you've only got like 5 minutes left, but you know, you need to maybe ask just this one question. It'll just get rid of everything else and just say, here's the question that you should just ask next. You know, so like I say, it started from the seed of the idea of it being about the meeting, but actually for me now, the meeting is just one tool in a kit that we're going to be building out, you know, and voice interaction, I think, is the starting point for this. So the onboarding flow would be speaking to Annika, what are you trying to actually do? You know, and then from there, build a project plan that then generates meetings, you know, goes and looks on LinkedIn and finds the very best people that you should probably speak to based on the project that you want to do. You know, hopefully connections of yours so you can just go and send them out an invite, you know, and then either you turn up or Annika can turn up and do all of that and send out, you know, surveys and other bits and pieces.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, I'm sure that you are. It's not actually updating or anything at the moment because this is just a demo like meeting that was run before. But yeah, I mean that's what we are. That's what we're building at the moment. You know, want to just be able to help people to be able to validate really quickly. You know, so rather than spending weeks and months having meetings with people, you could maybe do projects in days or weeks instead.
Yeah, it's crucial. Yeah, I feel like this is the thing that startups fail at the most, right? Like just working on something that no one cares about, or like kind of just isn't pressing enough or something like that. Like it's just yeah, it's like
That's
you're
it. Well, that's the other angle of it as well, isn't it? So if you just continue to get you know, you probably won't get negative feedback per se, but if nonchalance in meetings or whatnot, or people are just like, yeah, that's cool, you know, but actually there's no buying signals, you know. So we've been doing meetings and I you know, and it's been prompting me just to say, you know, ask whether they would commit the company's money to it. And I have, you know, and people are like, yeah, we would do that. So it's good. And actually, even it pushes me in the meeting, which is quite cool when we've had it up and running and set up properly.
Oh yeah, that's
Yeah.
so good. Like a kind of, yeah, like the co-pilot there for you. That's you.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it just keeps nudging and just saying, you know, well, it's always trying to find buying signals, you know, and it's based on sort of different product discovery frameworks in the background. It's not like all, you know, like we're going to use this framework and whatever, you know, it's founder talk. So it like keeps it really to the business, but in the background, it's all structured and thinking about, you know, how do we map out things like jobs to be done and other elements within product, you know, and capture all of those so that it's then there. And then the bit that comes after that then is the insights cloud, which is taking all of these different insights that we've got and then being able to put those together. First of all, at the meeting, but then at the project level. You know, so how do we start to build and show all of the insights and summarize, you know, how your project's going or what we've concluded so far from that? And I think the bit that then becomes really interesting is what if you take it up another level? And so it's not just insights for projects, but it's insights for product, you know, or you know, insights for a company, you know, potentially, because it doesn't just have to be about discovery. It could be, you know, sales and customer service and all of that in the future. So that's why I think it could get really, really interesting is you can really see what people are actually having conversations about and all the insights you're gathering from customers at scale without effort. You know, I think that's always the thing, right? The moment that you put, you know, it's effort to in, you know, to set up an app, install it in a dozen different places, get everybody to use it and all that. I think that's always the difficulty. So it's kind of working out how you just make
Open
it
notes to stuff
easy.
like that. Yeah, that's just hassle, isn't it? Yeah. But if you just turn it on and it starts giving you feedback and insights, it's yeah, no brainer.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, even with the Copilot bit, you know, if you if it's let's say if at a company level, if it's installed at the company level, then we can just, you know, autonomously grab the transcript that gets generated if it's like, you know, Google Meets or something, and then do that. But I also just think like integrations into the other apps, like you say, you know, you mentioned granola earlier on. Like I use granola. I've got loads of people in my company using it now. So that we can pull things together. But if you can just grab all of that and bring it in, it's just more insights.
Because I guess granola is just kind of sitting there right now, mostly. Like, it's very rare that I'll go look at the granola, you know? Like, it's, I've got it, but it's like, maybe sales
Exactly.
will look at it more because they need to do the follow-up calls and stuff like that. But for the average person, I feel like it just goes and sits there until it, I guess, until you maybe need something, you couldn't remember something, but like,
Well, that's how I use it as well. I mean, that's to say, it's, you know, records all of my meetings and work. But now and again, I will, somebody will say, hey, we need to go on a call with this customer. I'm like, great, well, let's see what we've spoken to them about. And we can just see everything and just have a conversation with all the transcripts then, you know, to make sure that we're fully prepared. I think stuff like that is really good. But it's not quite what we're trying to solve. That's not the same thing.
No. You're more about surfacing it. Sorry, I feel like you're more about like surfacing it and get people getting actions out of it rather than just like remembering what they said.
Absolutely, yeah.
Reese, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. We'd love to do like a follow-up call in like 2 or 3 months if it would work for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
Well,
really, yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
I'd love to show you know, the sort of the prep flow and the
Oh yeah.
tool, you know, once you finish building it, it should be done that the next week or so.
Okay, send it to me. We could do that. We could do another call once you've got like a demo or something and another like live one, especially with voice. We'd love to see that.
Fab.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd be very happy to do that.
Yeah. So would you want to let us know when you do that? And we could also book in one anyway if you want in like a 2 or 3 months, because we're with this technical advisory board, our initial plan was to do like one a month for like 6 months. We kind of realized it was like quite intense for founders building stuff and also not necessarily like, you know, a lot. I think, you know, for like voice AI challenges specifically, it doesn't always change that much every month. It's like can be like quite
Yeah.
big challenges often. The ones that really matter don't get solved in a month. So typically. So I'll send an email there with a link if that works to have another follow-up
Absolutely.
every month.
Well, yeah, we'll put that in, and then yeah, I'll get back in touch when we've got something to show it. But love to show it and love to talk a little bit about how it's working and, you know, experience of building it, you know, and what came out of it.
We would love to hear that. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks very much. Lovely to meet
Thank
you.
you. Have a great day. See ya.
And you. Bye.